And Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what he is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back at the 11 o'clock Mass. It seems like it's been forever since I have had the 11 o'clock Mass. Matter of fact, somebody this morning asked me, when did you grow out a beard? And it hasn't been that long since I've had the 11, but it feels like it's been a while. The Mass today, we're celebrating the Most Holy Trinity, and a lot of priests I know have said this is one of the more difficult topics to preach about because the Trinity is a mystery. And certainly over the ages there have been bishops, priests who have preached on the Trinity. You've probably heard about St. Patrick and what he used to teach about the Trinity. He used the shamrock, the three leaves, but it was one plant. I don't know if maybe you've heard of St. Augustine. One day St. Augustine was walking along the beach and he was trying to contemplate in his mind or understand the complexities of the Trinity, you know, three persons, one in one God. And as he was trying to unravel this mystery in his mind, he saw a boy playing in the sand near to the water's edge. And he had dug himself a pretty deep hole and he had some kind of a bucket. And he was walking back and forth between his hole and the ocean. He would fill his bucket up with water, and then he would go and pour it into the hole, and the water would just quickly disappear. And then he went back and got another bucket of water and poured it in the hole. And St. Augustine stood there for a while, and he watched it, and he thought, I wonder how many times this young man's going to do this. So after a substantial amount of time, St. Augustine approached the young lad and said, hey, what are you doing? And the boy said, well, isn't it obvious? I'm emptying the ocean into this hole. St. Augustine said, well, don't you realize that's impossible? At which point the young boy looked at him and said, it's just as impossible for you to understand the complexities of the Holy Trinity, at which point he disappeared. And St. Augustine was content with the idea that the Trinity would be a mystery, something that he would accept by faith, but it would be difficult for him to understand. I like to take it in a different direction and say that the Trinity, or our understanding of the Trinity, is a formula for you and I's happiness. It is a formula for you, for your happiness, for my happiness, for everyone's happiness. Now, one of the things I love about being pastor of St. Thomas the Apostle is the wonderful school we have next door here. And I love to go in and talk to the children, and especially the young kids, the kindergartners, because they're so creative. You know, if I go and ask some serious questions of the eighth graders, sometimes they will give me a blank stare. Mostly they're just nervous about giving me the wrong answer and what their friends might think. But if I go in there and I say, hey, who can tell me how to make my truck happy? By the way, my truck got in an accident yesterday and it's out of commission, so my truck's not very happy right now. But anyways, I go in there and I say, well, how can I make my truck happy? And the eighth graders will look at me and somebody will say, Father, this is a trick question because trucks don't have feelings and they can't be happy. And I'll say, okay, I'm forget you all, I'm going to ask the kindergartners because they know the answer. They've seen Cars. They saw the cartoon. So I go and ask the kindergartners, and usually I get a set of answers from the boys and a set of answers from the girls, which corresponds to their nature. So the boys are always very functional. The boys will always say things like, drive it fast, you know, go on the highway. Another boy will say, take it out in the desert and drive through some dirt, or take it through the mud. Is it four-wheel drive? Yes, four-wheel drive. Yeah, take it through the mud. That'll make it happy. So they're very functional. The girls are usually very nurturing, and they will say, take it to the car wash. It's like getting its nails done, right? You know, take it to the car wash. Or they'll say, feed it some gas. You know, it's like a baby bottle. You know, feed it some gas or put oil. The girls are very nurturing. But I think instinctively what the children are saying is that what would make something happy. Now, it doesn't matter to them that the car is an inanimate object, but they instinctively seem to understand that what would make something happy is dependent on what it was made for. And so a truck was made to drive fast. That's why we have vehicles take us from one place to another in a rapid amount of time. It was made to burn fuel. It was made to look good for the most part. Most people buy vehicles because they like the way it looks, except for the Kia Soul. That's an ugly car, but we won't get into that. But they instinctively are saying, what is the car made for? And that's what would make it happy. And then if I ask them the question, okay, well, what would make you happy? Then I get all kinds of crazy answers. Money, you know, riches. I said, well, are there rich people that are depressed? Are there rich people who are unhappy? Yes. Well, power, you know, becoming the president. I said, well, there's a lot of people who are powerful, but they might not be happy. They might have a lot of stress in their life or with their job. And so, well, wait a minute. What were you made for? Who created you? Whose image and likeness were you made in? And then they start to understand, okay, I was made in God's image and likeness, and God is love. So it is love that makes us happy, because that's our true nature. Your true nature is love. You were made in God's image, in God's likeness. And if somebody ever says to you, you know, you just have to accept me for who I am. I'm an angry person. You know, you don't know what I've been through all my life that made me the way I am, but I'm an angry person. I say, you're not an angry person, because God made you in His image and likeness. If you feel angry all the time, it's because you have a spirit of anger that has attached itself to you. And so when I think of today's solemnity of the Holy Trinity, God has revealed Himself to us in a mysterious way through the teachings of our church that He is a Father, He is Son, and Holy Spirit. And God is one. And we were made in the image and likeness of God. And so I think we can look at the Trinity and look at each one of the persons of the Trinity and say, therein lies a key to my happiness. And so if we start with Father, what is it that we can say a lot about Father, but I got to keep this homily relatively within the confines of the Mass. But I'm just going to say, one or two things about each. And so when I think about the Father, the word that comes to my mind, or the quality, is generosity. I don't know about you, maybe you have a different image of God the Father, but I think of generosity, because He created us out of love, out of generosity. He created us, He created the whole universe, and then He gave it to us for free. Here, you are the stewards of all that I have created. And so I think of God as a generous giver. And so I think that a key to our happiness is that when we are generous, and there's different ways for us to be generous. We can be generous with our time. We can be generous with our talents. We can be generous with our treasure. There's lots of ways that we can be generous, but I think it's through practicing generosity that we become happy. And one of my favorite movies to watch every year is The Christmas Carol. You remember with Ebenezer Scrooge? Do you remember at the beginning of the movie how stingy he is? He doesn't want to burn any more coal than he absolutely has to keep the shop from freezing. Everybody, his worker is freezing. He doesn't want to give any tips. When the people come asking for money for the poor, he says, you know, rather decrease the surplus population rather than for him to be generous. And so he's very stingy, but he's rich. Does anybody think that he was happy? He was just absolutely miserable inside of himself. But what happens towards the end of the movie when there's a transformation and he becomes outrageously generous and he's giving money to all these different people and he can't stop himself from laughing? He's giddy beside himself. I think he's finding his true nature, because we're made in the image and likeness of a God who is completely generous. You know, one of my favorite things is when you give somebody a gift, is to watch them open it. Anybody like to do that? I love watching people open gifts. It's like, you know, wait till I get there. You know, don't open the presents yet. And I think that has to do with the truth that when we are generous, it leads to our happiness. And so if you want to be miserable the rest of your life, be stingy like Scrooge at the beginning of the movie. If you want to be outrageously happy, give like God gives. St. Paul said God loves a joyful giver. The second person of the Trinity we think of is the Son, in Jesus Christ. And there are certainly many, many attributes of Jesus that we could talk about. But when I look at the crucifix, I think that he came to redeem us. And I think of forgiveness. And I think that is also a key to our happiness, is in our ability to forgive one another when we have been harmed. Now, probably every one of you has experienced being cut off in the highway with somebody and you get upset. Could you imagine if you could never stop talking about it all day long, you know, at the water cooler? Hey, guess what happened to me this morning? Somebody cut me off on the highway. Yeah, I was really upset. And then 5 minutes later, you're still talking to them about it. And I can't believe they cut me off on the highway. Somebody's going to say, would you stop talking about what happened to you this morning? That's small. Just forgive and forget. And it's when we can't forgive, when we harbor grudges, when we harbor unforgiveness, I think it steals away our happiness. The happiest people I know forgive very quickly. The happiest people I know, they don't hold on to grudges. They're willing to forgive someone. And I think that's a key to happiness too. And I think it's a key also to community life, to family life. If we can't forgive one another, it makes our life so much more difficult. And so the key to our happiness is to look at Jesus' forgiveness. And he says to us in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And forgiveness was very key to the Lord. And then we think of the Holy Spirit. When I think of the Holy Spirit, I think of the love between Father and the Son. And so certainly we can talk about love as a key to happiness. But I also think of the Holy Spirit as building community. It's through that mutual love that we build community, friendships, churches, communities. And I think part of our happiness lies in being part of a community. Now, there are a few individuals who, for the sake of a greater good, have chosen to be hermits or, you know, some kind of monks. But those are far in between the exception. I think we were made for community. God said it's not good for man to be alone. And the building blocks of society, the family, is community. The father, mother, and then the children. And so I think part of our happiness is in building those communities with one another. If you want to be miserable, you know, when I was a seminarian, I was living in North Carolina. One of the priests that I knew, he was suffering from pretty severe depression. He would lock the door, put the window blinds down. He wouldn't take phone calls. And he was so isolated and so miserable. And I think our happiness lies in building community, being part of your family life, and sharing yourself, making a gift of yourself to others. And so today, as we contemplate the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, yes, it is a mystery. It is difficult for us to understand how God can be one, yet three distinct persons. But it's in the mystery of the Trinity that we can begin to look at ourselves, made in God's image and likeness. And when we do those things that we see in God, we start acting in a way that is in accord with our true nature, not our fallen nature, our true nature, which is in the image and likeness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Together, let us stand as we profess our faith.